Let's look right there in chapter 8. Now, we preached a little bit this morning on that story on Gideon and Gideon's 300. And let me just pause for just a minute. I'll get ahead of myself. I do want to say this, that I do appreciate, first off, before we get into anything, that I do appreciate this church. And I appreciate the way that y'all have taken care of us this week. And all the food and just all the friendship that we have here and just the hospitality here. Thank you so much. And thank you for letting us stay over here and whoever cleans this place up before and after we leave. Appreciate whoever cleans it after, but I appreciate whoever cleans it before we get there, mainly. Amen. It's always nice and clean. And we stay a lot of different places through the year, stay in a lot of motel rooms and stuff like that. And everywhere you stay ain't quite as clean as the parsonage. So thanks to whoever does that. And it makes for a nice, pleasant stay. And I appreciate everybody's hard work. Man, that was just a real blessing yesterday, that kid's day. Wasn't that fun? And Brother Tony, right? That's Brother Tony. He had told me his daughter, that's your name, ain't it? You got a nod bigger, brother, because I thought you was like, I'm sorry, I do real bad with name. But he was telling me he said, my daughter last night said we went to the Walmart and said she planted three seeds while we was in the store. He said 2 12-packs and a pair of blue jeans. Woo, you'd have had to been here yesterday to know what we're talking about. Yeah, yeah. You don't know if that sounds like a good or bad time, you know. Sounds like an old country song or something. Praise the Lord. You know, that's what you want. See some kind of fruit coming out of something, man. What a blessing. That's why we do that stuff. So that somebody can get something out of it. And sure to appreciate, boy, just everybody here. And both of these churches here tonight. I appreciate y'all. And I appreciate y'all's friendship, your preachers, your pastors, and their friendship to me. And they've just been a real blessing. Let's look right here in Judges chapter 8. I want to pick up for just a minute, kind of continue with a thought, I want to just give you just the last little bit of where we were at this morning. Then I'm going to jump over and preach something else. But I'm going to watch the time real close, all right? Because I don't want to get into... Who shook their head? You did. Because I do not want to get into overtime. Because that wouldn't be expedient for me. And we'll have to send you a bill on that. But right here in Judges chapter 8, I do want to say this. We talked about those men this morning at Gideon's 300, and I just want to pick up something that I didn't say this morning, but it felt like needed to be said. I'll tell you this. Those men, when they got to running, they're following that man, Gideon, and they're going to fight this battle and all that. We talked about them conquering fear. We talked about them conquering the flesh. We talked about them going on even though they'd been forsaken. There were just a few of them, and they went on anyway. We talked about how they could follow a leader. Can somebody say amen about following a leader? And you say, you're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, I am. But more specifically, I'm talking about following the leader that's been set up in the local church, which is the pastor. Amen. Amen. And I'll tell you this, if your leader, if he likes to show up early and pray before church on Sunday morning or Sunday evening, he's trying to lead you in something. And it's up to you to follow him. Amen. What more do you want? Go ahead and be faithful in small things, and God may give you something bigger to follow. Amen. Now, I'll tell you this. Another thing, though, that you got to remember, and let me just say right there. Let me just say right there. When I was in high school, I had a shop teacher, and he was a good guy. He was real funny and cut up and all that, Coach Morris. And Coach Morris, I was in his class, and I made good grades when I was in school, believe it or not. And I would, I tried to make good grades, tried to make A's. Well, in his class, I came home with a B in shop class. Had a 100 in geometry and a B in shop. See, something's not right. Well, came home, Dad said, well, what's going on with that? I said, man, I have no idea. I wasn't in trouble, but I said, it bothers me. He said, well, let me call and find out. He called the principal. He said, did you do the work he gave you? I said, I did everything he gave me to do. What he would do is if you played sports, he'd usually give you a B or C. And I didn't play any sports, but I didn't cause him a problem. He'd give you a B or C so you could play ball. And that was about it. And you didn't do any work in Coach Tyrone Morris's class. None. There was no work given. I don't even know how he come up with my grade. Okay? Told my dad about that. He called the principal, and the principal talked to Coach Morris. Coach Morris talks to me. He told me this. He said, I didn't know you was that passionate about your grades, you know. I said, well, yes, sir. If I'm going to be here, I'd like to try to make a good grade and all that. Here's what he told me. Now, just listen to me. He said, man, I'm going to tell you what. He said, I don't have any backing anymore by the administration. This, by the way, was maybe 15 years ago. I don't have any backing by the administration. He said, do you know so-and-so and so-and-so? I said, oh, I know them well. He said, these two boys, one of them was actually a friend of mine. And he said, these two boys were fighting in class the other day. Yep, I bet he was. He said, I told him, you get out of here, go up to the principal's office, and he's going to deal with you. He goes down there, and he goes up there to the principal's office and all that. He said, I look out 5 minutes later, and both of them sitting in the hallway. I look out, and I said, what are you doing sitting in the hallway? He probably said it slightly more colorful than that. He had an enhanced vocabulary. He said, what are you doing sitting in the hall? He said, well, we went and talked to the principal. He told us just come back down here and sit in the hall till the bell rang, get our books, and go to the next class. He said, that kind of stuff right there is the reason that I don't give work in my class anymore. He said, I'm tenured. It's hard for them to get rid of me. He said, and I got 5 kids to take care of at the house. He said, so I just decided a few years ago, I'll come here and I'll get my check and I'll go on to the house. He said, I ain't giving nobody nothing. He said, I ain't wrestling with nothing no more. He said, but do you want to learn something? Is that why you're coming to me? You want to? Is that what you're saying you'd like to learn? I said, yes, sir. As long as I'm here and we got all this equipment, teach me something. He said, I'd be glad to. He said, I didn't become a teacher so I could draw a paycheck. I became a teacher because I'm passionate about teaching young people, and there is a desire in me. He had his master's degree. I mean, he was a well-educated man. He worked real hard to get where he was. He said, but I'm not going to try to force this on anybody, especially with no backing from the office. He said, but I didn't become a teacher so I could draw a paycheck. I became a teacher because I wanted to teach. Through the rest of the year, man, I learned woodwork. I learned how to weld. I learned how to work on some of the machines in the shop. Every day when we went out there, brother, and we worked on stuff. Yes. Now, what's the point? Was that man obligated to teach no matter what? Was he obligated to try to do his best? Sure he was. But boy, you saw a twinkle come in Coach Morris's eye that hadn't been in there in a little while when he had somebody that went to him and said, if you'll teach me, I'd love to get it. I mean, I'd love to soak it up. I mean, what I'm trying to say is, bring me down just a little bit, brother, and just park it, because it's going up and down anyway. Listen to me now. It causes a little bit different something to begin to stir in a twinkle that might not have been there in your pastor's eye for a little while when you come to him and say, hey, if you want somebody to take out and teach how to pass out gospel tracts, I'm willing to go. Amen. And then when he sets up the time, actually go. So do you show up here, Pastor, you said, at 9:30 on Sunday morning to get a hold of God before you preach? I'll be here at 9:30. And all hell will come against you. You can get to work at 6 in the morning, but it's hard to get to church on Sunday morning at 9:30. All hell will come against you if you're going to try to come pray. But you go ahead and do it anyway. Amen. Is your pastor going to preach regardless? Sure he is. I mean, he's not going to let you just sit in here and fight each other like we did in shop class. But you know what? He's going to do his job anyway. But you want to see a spark and a twinkle come back in a preacher's eye? You go ahead and go to him and say, hey, I want you to know I'm with you. Let's do something. Teach me something. Let's go somewhere. I'll follow you, man. Amen. I'm going to say it again. Everybody here that can. And he already eliminated a lot of excuses this morning. If you ain't got a ride, we'll pick you up. If you whatever, you know what I mean? If you can't get out of the house, we'll tote you to the car. And he gave all these different excuses. If you'd like to go to Conecuh River with us next Wednesday night, then we'll make a way for you to get there. I guess, have y'all been down there before? Y'all been down there to the Conecuh River? We went one time. That is the horsefly capital of the United States. Amen. But hey,
Pastor, we're going to go battle the horse flies. I'm with you. Let's go. You bring your fly swatter and your Bible and go back up the preacher. Amen? Amen. And you say, well, ain't nothing going to happen at Conecuh River, man. Well, we think revival's going to bust out in the woods. I don't know, but I know it ain't if you don't at least go and see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Amen. And you know what? It just makes a man feel real good when he looks up and a whole bunch of his people standing there saying, what are you here for? Well, we're here to hear maybe even a sermon that we've heard you preach before. Maybe. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, you preach the same sermons at revival that you preach at your church, don't you? We're here to hear maybe a sermon that we've heard before, but mainly we're here to support you and just say amen at you. Like sick them to a bulldog. That's why we're saying to men to go. That's a good opportunity to just say amen. Some of you, it probably made you mad. You know who else it makes mad when you say amen? It makes the devil mad. It makes you and the devil mad. You know who you are. See, but what are you saying? Hey, man, hey. Coach Morris, yeah, you give me that B. You know what? I had an A the next semester. Average them two together. I finished the class with an A. That's what I wanted to do. He told me, he said, I didn't get in this thing. Listen, in our circles, now I don't know how they do it in the big mega churches, but in our circles, in these little independent Baptist churches, these men do not become pastors so that they can have a career as a pastor. There was something down in them calling them to that. They don't become pastors to draw paychecks. This man right here has a real education from an accredited school. He could have went and done anything he wanted to in 4 years, and I mean been making some cheddar, man. Something down in him was saying, I want you to pastor, I want you to lead people, I want you to be a shepherd. Hey, let him lead you. Let him lead you. Amen. Amen. I thought it was pretty good myself. Amen. I'll tell you this about these guys. Man, I am getting into the next sermon's time already. Judges 8. Look, I want to tell you this, though, talking about these men. Now, some of you this morning, I know we had an altar full of people this morning. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. And, you know, I'm going to tell you what. I think a whole lot of things start down here at the altar. I think that's a real good starting place for a whole lot. But it is not what's really going to make stuff happen when you get out yonder. It's a good place to get started, but it don't start and finish right here. This is where you kind of sign up, you kneel down and say, Lord, I'm getting in. Trust me, the battle happens when you get out yonder. That's when it gets rough. You get all emotional. You know what I'm saying? You got some guy that's jumping around and yelling and screaming, come on, let's charge and go take this hill. Yeah! But then when it's actually time to get up and take the hill, now that's when things change. So I'm going to tell you, you know what these guys were doing, though? These people that's in the remnant. Now I'm talking to those of you that came back tonight because you got a much better chance of being in the remnant than those that didn't. Amen. I know everybody can't be at every service. I know sometimes you have an ox in the ditch. If you don't know what that means, ask Brother Keith. He'll lead you through that. But, you know, those of you that came back, you know what? I want to tell you this. We was talking about how that fear wouldn't stop them and this wouldn't stop and that wouldn't stop. You know what else wouldn't stop those people? And now we're going to talk about reality tonight and living in the real world. Being faint would not stop them. Judges chapter 8, the Bible says there, verse number 4, and Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. They're chasing down the enemy, and by now they've been fighting a long time. The hype is settled, the dust has settled, everybody's went home, the big rigmarole's done, the pitchers have been broken and the lights shine out. All of that stuff has already happened, and now the real test is coming up as to whether or not they're really going to get behind and follow this man. Now that some time has went on, now that they've gotten tired, now that their flesh is weary, and now that they're a little ways from the big rigmarole, when the meeting settles down, 3 or 4, 5, 6 weeks down the road, you will be faint. But if you're going to be in the remnant, you still got to be pursuing the enemy. Now, going from there, let's look over at 2 Corinthians 4.
going to tell you this. 2 Corinthians 4. Give you some stuff real plain. Skip right along through here tonight. 2 Corinthians 4, the Bible says here, verse number 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now there's the secret to not growing faint in the work of the Lord. You say, I want to be in this remnant. I want to conquer my fear. I want to go on, and even though people have forsaken me, I want to keep pressing on. I'm not going to be beaten by the flesh, all of that. But when you become faint and you begin to feel faint, the way that you're going to beat that is by that inward man being renewed day by day. Is everybody with me? Let me give you a few things about that inward man getting renewed day by day. One thing is, if you're going to stay in the battle, some of you made some big commitments this morning. And by the way, I think you'd do better to have never made a vow than to make a vow and break it. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Some of you made some this morning, and you're going to get faint in this thing. But you can still be pursuing as long as that inward man stays renewed. First thing I want to say is this. One thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to eat every single day. Those children of Israel, they ate that manna every single day. Day in and day out, they have manna to eat. They went out every morning. There was fresh manna, except for on the Sabbath, but they went out every morning and they gathered up that manna and they consumed it every day, and that's what kept them going. Now, I'm going to tell you this, in the work of the Lord, it's going to be a whole lot like it is in your regular everyday life. When you're going through regular everyday life, man, you're going to get tired and you need something to eat, don't you? And you wonder why do people fall by the wayside and why they get out and why they ain't in church no more and all that. Well, the problem is that person's inward man is not being renewed anymore day by day. You'll begin to try to get that inward man renewed week by week, Sunday by Sunday, Sunday morning by Sunday morning. Then before long, you're just so weak spiritually that you can't hardly stand up anymore. Amen. You say, we want to keep pursuing. You've got to be eating something spiritually every day. Every single day. I'll tell you something else. You've got to actually ingest and digest what it is that you're eating. You say, now that is very elementary. Yes, it is. Fundamentals. You got to ingest it over there in, and I'm not turning to all the places for sake of time, but over there in Revelation 10, the Lord told him, he said, take this little book and eat it. And he said, when I ate it, it was in my mouth, it was sweet as honey. When I swallowed it down, it was made my belly bitter. That's the thing about the Word of God. It's one thing to skim across it and feel spiritual because you say that you read your Bible. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And it's kind of sweet when you do that because you feel spiritual. You know, you buzz down through there, you know. Whoever else is hidden things, with all God, Christ, when the sun, the sight of God. Whatever God's be hid is hidden in them, but all from the world, and the eyes of them, and it shine unto them. Sound like Jason Sasser reading his Bible. And you take that thing and you lay it over there on the shelf and you say, man, I sure am spiritual, man. I just read some of the King James Bible. You lay down and go to bed. You know what? You didn't get nothing off that. I know you ain't going to remember every single thing and all the deep doctrines and all that, but you need to be getting something every day, actually getting something for your soul out of the Word of God. You know, some of you know, what a lot of us turn into, brother? We turn into what I call Cookie Monster Christians. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, Cookie Monster? Cookie Monster, he's on Sesame Street. Y'all know about Sesame Street? Some of y'all thought we was going to preach on the Romans Road tonight. We're going to preach on Sesame Street. Oh, Cookie Monster, he'll come in, they'll bring him all them cookies in there, and he'll say, teaching the kids how to count, and he'll say, oh, here's six cookies. And he'll say, oh, six cookies. And he'll grab him cookies up like that, and then he's tempted, and they're saying, no, Cookie Monster, don't eat them cookies, don't eat them cookies. And no, them's for the big party, Cookie Monster. And then a little bit, he just can't stand it anymore, and he goes, nom, 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 nom. He's shoveling them cookies in and all that. He's just devouring them.
But now look here, though. The problem is with all that, he ate the six cookies, right? Good job, Cookie Monster. You ate six cookies. But if you started looking around and you begin to pick up the fragments that's laying all over the table, the fragments laying all in the floor, and pieced them all back together, you would have somewhere around six cookies. He just chewed them up and they fell out on the ground. That's why Cookie Monster don't ever get any bigger or stronger. Now, what's the point? Listen, you say, why would you say something so silly? I'll tell you this, because of this. I want you to remember when you pick up the Bible tonight. I want you to remember when you pick it up in the morning. I want you to remember that funny story about Cookie Monster. And don't be a Cookie Monster Christian. Don't just chew up a bunch of chapters in the Bible so that you can brag to your own self about how spiritual you are. Read it and get something out of it. Ask God Almighty to speak to your heart. You say, oh man, we want to be in the remnant. We want to be in that. We want to be in that 300, brother. If you want to be in that, when you get faint, you've got to be yet pursuing. How are you going to beat becoming spiritually faint? According to the Bible, the inward man has to be renewed day by day. How's he going to be renewed? You're going to have to eat every day. You're going to have to actually take in and digest what you're eating. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's turn over to 1 Chronicles 11. 1 Chronicles 11. Keep thinking. I'm trying to remember if I have preached this here before. I don't ever do that. I'm wondering, trying to, but I know I'm preaching what I'm supposed to preach tonight. So if you've heard it before, just take it again. You must not have got it the first time. Hey, what are you saying? No, listen, though, I'm trying to give you some practical stuff tonight. I know we ain't up running the bases and hooping the heart. This ain't even hard plowing preaching tonight. None of that. Did a whole lot of that this morning. Those of you that received it, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks out. You keep doing what I'm doing. And I'm telling you what. When the individuals in this church become spiritually strong, I'm telling you, something will ignite in this place. I know what I'm talking about. Say, we want to see revival unless you're spiritually strong. Listen, you cannot handle revival unless you're spiritually ready for revival. You can't handle it. Revival come up in here, tear stuff to pieces. Am I telling it right, brother? You say, man, we want revival. You better get ready for it then. Say, well, how are we going to do that? I'll tell you another thing. 1 Chronicles 11, the Bible says there in verse number 15, now three of the 30 captains went down to the rock to David and to the cave of Adullam and to the host of the Philistines and camped in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the hold and the Philistines' garrison was then at Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well at Bethlehem that is in the gate, that is at the gate. The three brake through to the host of the Philistines and drew out water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink of it, but poured it out unto the Lord. What a blessing to have a leader like that. I'm serious. They broke through and he said, I can't drink this water. He said, I want some water from this specific well, the well at Bethlehem. Stay with me for just a minute. I'm going to make a practical point here. I want some water from the well at Bethlehem. These three men, they break through the company of the Philistines. The Philistines were in between him and the well. They broke through the line, got him some water, just three men, and broke through the line again coming out, took him the water and said, here you go. And he said, man, I can't even drink this. This is, he called it the blood of these men. He said, they risked their lives to get me a canteen of water. I can't do this. And pours it out. Here's the point that I'm trying to make. After this, David lived another day. And then he lived another day. And then he lived another day. Later on, he got anointed to be king of Judah. Then he got anointed to be king of Israel. He had sons and daughters beyond this. What's the point? David lived many, many, many years after this incident. Can you live many, many, many years without having water to drink? No. So that lets me know, brother, even though he wanted his water to come from a specific source, even though that's what he really wanted, when he didn't have it from that source, God provided water elsewhere. You know what you'll do if you're not careful? We've had a fun week, man. We've had kids' day. Raised $5,000, $10,000, whatever came, just thousands of dollars. That's exciting. Brother Randy has shaven himself. He's become shorn for the cause of Christ. He took a vow or something. Amen. I thought, by the way, he said if we hit, what was it, 3,000, he'd cut them eyebrows off too. I'm telling you, I heard it right out there. Brother, it wasn't, I promise. Brother Jason, he just needs to keep all that he does have. Look. But I'm telling you this, though, man. It's been buzzing, man. What are we going to do for kids today? Let's set up the games, man. We got revival coming up and this and that and the other. But you know what? That's a whole lot like the well at Bethlehem. You say, man, that's good water when it's revival week. It's good water when it's Jubilee, man. It's good water when it's camp meeting time. Man, when there's something exciting going on, that's like you get a drink from the well at Bethlehem. What was it that appealed to him about that well at Bethlehem? I don't really know, but it was something special to him. But you know what? We see from the story, when he did get some of that water, of course, he pours it out. So what it's saying is this, even though he desired water to come from a specific, exciting, nostalgic, whatever source, he didn't have to have it from there. Every week can't be revival week. Every week ain't going to be Jubilee. And you say, oh, I just wish I could get a drink from the well at Bethlehem. I know people that are, they become what my daddy called camp meeting junkies. Yeah. I just got to find another camp meeting, man. I got to find another camp meeting. I got to get in it where it's getting on, man, where it gets on. Yeah. It ain't always going to get on. Yeah. A lot of days are just going to be a day, just another day. You can't always get a drink from the well at Bethlehem, but if you will ask the Lord and get with the Lord, He will give you a drink from somewhere. It may be on an old cassette tape. You pop that thing in, you've been feeling dry, and you pop it in, and some old singing group where the people's been dead for 10 years, and there's something they recorded back in 1975, come across there, and God still just breathes on you. Say, how do you know? I've had it happen, friend. Some old preacher that's dead and gone. Lester Roloff. Turn Lester Roloff and he get to singing, man. Get to singing some of that old stuff. He kind of does talking singing at the same time. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And he'll be singing, once in the stillness of the late midnight hour, I felt the presence of the Lord's saving power. So I fell on my knees. Cried to him there, oh merciful Savior, hear this lost sinner's prayer. Now every hour of every day and every moment and in every way, I'm leaning on Jesus. He's the rock of my soul. I'm singing His praises wherever I go. Man, I've turned that thing on before. He's probably been dead 20 years, maybe longer. Turn that on. Man, just God get to blowing around in there. And I'll be saying, man, I wish I could get to the well at Bethlehem. I wish it was revival week. I wish it was camp meeting week. But you know what? Even some good old hose pop water tastes pretty good if you get thirsty enough. What is it? You'll just get to looking. You'll find you a drink.
That's good, bro.
You'll find you a drink. Yeah. God will provide you a drink. The Bible says this, that He would pour water on those that are thirsty. You get thirsty and you decide, I won't fill up my time. I'm not going to appeal my desires and all that. I'm not going to appease my desires with stuff of this world and drink the world's Kool-Aid and Cokes and all that. You know, are y'all with me on that? And you say, Lord, I want some good, clean, pure water. He'll pour it on you. Every week is not revival week. So you're going to have to eat something every day. You've got to drink something every day. You're going to have to actually take in what it is you're eating and drinking and ingest it and let it do something for you. And you can't despise it. And you can't be picky about what source the Lord chooses to give it. I had church just the other day. Man, I got this guy, this black fellow that I met at a revival. He'll call me. His name is Alvin. I can't remember his last name. He'll say, Brother Jared, this is Brother Alvin. How you doing, brother? He said, just tell me, is he still on the throne? You know what he's doing? He's calling saying, hey, preacher, let me just give you a small little drink of water before we hang up the phone here. It may not be from the well at Bethlehem. God will give you a drink if you want it. If you'll seek it, he'll give you a drink. Take it from the source that it's provided. Another thing you got to do is you got to learn to feed your own self. If you're going to be a grown-up Christian, you got to learn to feed yourself. Amen. Because I know some of you's thinking, man, you said I got to eat every day. Is Brother Keith supposed to come over and preach to me every single day? How's he supposed to do that? You know what you're expected to do? We got some little children. When they're real, real little, we do all the feeding. We just spoon feed them. Here you go. Let me wipe your lip. Here you go. But as they get older, the idea is that now Jack can sit down and he can feed himself. Now the next big step is he feeds himself dinner and then he picks up his plate and sets it on the counter. And then the next thing's going to be this, and the next step is this. Lily is not to that point. But as he begins to mature, do you know what I expect out of my son? There's a time when he sits there and he can't do anything for himself, so I spoon feed him. Then he gets a little bigger and he starts feeding himself. He's making a mess, but he's feeding himself. And then time rolls on and he feeds himself. He gets a little bigger. He can feed himself and now he can wipe his own mouth. Over time, what we expect is for him to literally be able to walk into the kitchen, make his own bologna sandwich and sit down and eat it and then wash his dishes behind himself. And then one day he'll go out and he will marry somebody. He'll be the one that God will give them a child. He'll go out and work. He'll make the money, then they'll come in, they'll make the food, and they will spoon feed it to the next generation. But until you learn how to feed yourself, you'll never get mature enough spiritually to ever even feed anybody else. That's what it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be growing and maturing in the Lord. There's different phases of this thing. And until you learn how to feed yourself, until you learn how to get disciplined enough, discipline, we want to be a disciple, right? A disciple, discipline, disciple. You get disciplined enough to open up your Bible and read it every day, to shut everything off. I'm not talking about praying in between commercials on Oprah.
Come on.
Talking about shut it all off. Shut it off. Dr. Oz, Dr. Phil. Y'all know all them daytime stuff, man. You know you watch all that stuff. I ain't even talking bad about it. What I'm talking about is there better be a time where you shut that off, you go get with the Lord. It's time to eat, man. Time to eat. Or you know what? You're going to get faint, and you're just going to fall by the wayside. You're going to make this big commitment to God. Lord, I want to be in the remnant. I want to be in the 300. Oh, God, I'm just moved right now, Lord, with passion toward you. But as time goes on, every day ain't some big epic day. And you're going to have to eat something every single day. You've got to learn to feed yourself. Amen.
Amen.
It's going to be the only way that you can survive trouble. Turn with me to Galatians 6, and I'm going to close right here. Galatians chapter 6. The Bible says this in chapter 6, verse number 9. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Now, how are we not going to faint? Well, our inward man's got to be renewed day by day. What keeps your body from fainting and passing out? The fact that you have to rest. The fact that you have to take in more nutritious food. You got to drink more water. You got to get some sleep. Do you know one reason that you have to sometimes shut everything off? Because the spiritual inward man needs to rest. He needs to rest from all of that stupid noise going on, all this programming going on. Sometimes, I promise, you're going to have to shut it off and let him rest. That's why the old-timers, they could get a hold of God. It was quiet enough that they could hear his still, small voice. Now we got stuff running. Try that. Just let your physical body just do that for about 72 hours, and then let's just see how we do when we try to go fight a battle. You're going to faint. You're going to faint. The Bible says this, that we will reap if we faint not. Now, I'll tell you this. I'd met this guy that was a boxer. He was past his prime when I met him. He was maybe about 45. Still a real athletic-looking man. He was a lightweight fighter, still real cut, muscular fella. And I was talking to him about boxing back in his glory days, you know, back when he used to box. And he boxed on USA and HBO networks and all that. You know, he's a pretty good fighter. And I asked him, I said, man, was you ever sure enough good? Man, come on, tell me about it. He said, man, he said, I had a lot of natural talent and ability. He said, but the problem was is I really didn't take my training serious. I didn't take my diet serious. And I just kind of just messed around. And I relied on my natural ability to knock somebody out because he was a real strong guy for his size, had a strong overhand right. And he said, I relied on that to be able to win a fight. He said, but had I have done my training right, had my diet right, I could have been a champion. Point being made is this. You say, man, we really want to get serious about this thing. We want to get in the remnant. We want to get within that remnant, man. We want to be glowing red hot for God. We want to be that little 300 out of the 32,000 that's doing something. I'm going to tell you this. Unless you get your diet right, unless you get your training right, unless you got your rest right, you're never going to be a champion. Because when the going gets tough, the weak people go home. Let me just tell you this. The Holy Ghost wasn't the only one here in all these commitments made up here this morning. There is another one that walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's listening too. And you better decide that you're going to get strong spiritually so that you can follow this preacher. So you can get a new burst of life and do something for God. That's what revival's about. That's what revival's about. I'll tell you this. You could be a champion. The diet's got to be right. Rest has got to get right. Every week ain't revival week. You know why you like to hear different speakers come in and preach? Honestly, I said a little bit about it this morning because they got different stories and different jokes that you ain't never heard. You done heard all your pastor stuff. You heard it 5 or 6 times probably. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, I sit under a pastor too. He's a good preacher. He's a studious man. But you hear that stuff over and over and over. But then he goes somewhere else and preaches, and people say, wow, what a great preacher. That's how the thing works. And I'm going to tell you know what? A lot of Sunday, every Sunday ain't some big epic Sunday.
That's good, brother.
But it'll be a Sunday. There'll be something provided, something for you. You know, I just think sometimes, though, we might miss out. Preacher shows up here at 9:30 to pray. We come dragging in, actually more like 11 o'clock. Preacher shows up at 9:30 to pray, and we wonder why I ain't getting much out of the preaching anymore. Maybe that 30 minutes of prayer would have prepared your heart and really prayed down the power of God on him.
Amen.
Maybe it'd be time for you to decide you're going to get faithful in these small things. And God, if you'll help me to not faint, Lord, if you'd give me the grace, I'm going to try to eat every single day. I'm going to try to get serious about my diet spiritually. I'm going to cut out some junk food. Amen. I'm going to take in some good stuff, and I'm going to get strong spiritually. And, Lord, I want to be in that remnant. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, I really want to be in that remnant. If that's where you feel like you're at tonight, I'm not going to ask you to come forward or nothing like that. The pastor can do whatever he wants to do, but I'm not going to ask you to do anything like that. But I would ask you now, you think about it. Some of you made some big commitments this morning. You said, we want to be in the remnant. That's what we want to do. We're going to get behind him. We're going to back him. We're going to follow our leader. And, boy, we're going to conquer our fear. And listen, you're not going to do that. You are going to faint in the middle of this battle if that inward man is not being renewed every single day. Now, think about it tonight. Make sure you take it very seriously.